Hi, I'm Jeff Marsacci, the Plain English Attorney, and you're at the number one place to get simple answers to complex questions. We cover topics for attorneys, financial advisors, and the general public around estate and Medicaid planning, as well as some best practices for professionals. Our mission is to dispel myths, provide you some peace of mind, and hopefully have some fun along the way.
Hi, Jeff Marsacci, the Plain English Attorney, and today we're going to talk a little bit about real estate and revocable living trusts. All right, the first thing is we're talking about revocable living trusts, not irrevocable trusts. That's probably going to be another topic for a different video. But we're talking about revocable living trusts and avoiding probate when you pass on or pulling control into an entity if you become incapacitated. That's what the revocable trust is for, and having real estate in the trust just makes a lot of sense. Now, one of the things I'm going to go over to start with is I get some pushback from attorneys regarding the primary residence. In North Carolina, if you're married and you have your primary residence in your names as tenancy by the entirety, which is really, it's joint with the right of survivorship for married couples. Oh, there's some bankruptcy and lawsuit protection. Basically, the types of lawsuits and defaults and things like that where, oh, because your spouse's name is on the title to it and you've got this kind of protection, it's say the husband goes out, gets into a bad car accident. It's his fault. They're being sued. Well, they can't take the house because the spouse wasn't on that accident. It's their property too. They're not going to let somebody get through that. Now, I had another attorney actually ask me about this. How do I respond? Because she was an estate planning attorney and she knew, you know, having real estate in the revocable trust has a lot of benefits. What do you say to someone who is another attorney that's like, well, I don't see why you would ever put that into a trust because you lose your lawsuit protection? All right. Two questions. What are the odds that you are going to be sued to the point where your insurance won't cover it and therefore the house is going to get confiscated? Second question to balance against that. What are the chances you're going to die ever? Well, that's 100%. So look, if you're really that concerned about lawsuits, keeping your residence as joint tenancy with a spouse, that's like using duct tape because your engine's falling out. It's like, no. If that's really that big of a concern, now we should be talking about irrevocable trusts and LLCs and whatnot. But just to say, oh, leave the house vulnerable to some probate and other issues just because there's this small chance you might get sued to the point your insurance doesn't cover, that doesn't make any sense. Now, on the probate end, why would you have your real estate in the revocable trust? Well, it's because if you pass on and you have real estate outside of the state you're residing in, and in this example I'm going to use North Carolina law because that's where I'm licensed. If there's real estate outside of the state of North Carolina and it's in your name when you pass on, there has to be an ancillary probate proceeding in that county in another state in order to clear the title for the real estate over to the beneficiaries. So if you have a timeshare that's a deed up in the Williamsburg, Virginia area, and oh, well, I've got this small vacation property down in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, suddenly you're dealing with probate in two other states just to clear it, whereas if it's in the trust, no issue, it's done. Okay, no problems there. All right, so what are some of the things that often come up when we're talking about real estate that's inside a revocable trust that might be considered problems? Really several situations. One, you're purchasing a new property and you want to put it into your trust. If it's a cash sale, in other words, you're just cutting a check, no problem. You can work with the real estate attorney who's handling that sale and get the property titled into the name of your living trust. Not an issue. If there's a mortgage company, now suddenly it's a whole other thing. And I need to be clear, this is nothing of legal issues with having real estate in the trust. Although a lot of times mortgage companies will make it sound like you created this problem. And I've even heard, oh, it's illegal to have your real estate in a trust. They don't know what they're doing. They're trying to practice law, and it's just not appropriate. All right, so what the mortgage company is going to need is some additional information. Well, what information do they need? I don't know. Every single company is different. But they should be able to give you a checklist of here are the things we need in order to put this property into your trust at the point of sale, so the mortgage company is sure that somehow or another, they're not going to get cheated out of the money they're lending you. They're going to give you that money. No problem. All right, so we've seen it be as simple as, well, we want a copy of the trust. We need to see it and have our department go through it and make sure you can't somehow or another get out of paying the mortgage that we're signing up for. Okay, that's fine. That's fair. Other times it's gotten so complicated and convoluted that we get to the point of saying, well, okay, take the real estate, purchase it in your name or names. And then once we see that deed has been recorded, my office will do a quick claim deed, or if it's another state, another attorney license there, and just move it into the trust. The thing is, the mortgage company, they don't care. What they really care about is up front, their deed of trust, meaning the paperwork that shows you owe them the money and it's attached to the property, that needs to be filed first. Okay, unless you're trying to weasel out of having to pay that, then okay, it's a technique that can work, and yeah, it's an additional step, and maybe there's additional paperwork, but it's definitely less of a headache in some instances than trying to purchase that real estate in the name of the trust. Okay, another issue, selling real estate out of your revocable trust to some buyers. It's kind of the same exact thing. If they're paying cash, then it's probably not going to be an issue unless their closing attorney says it's an issue, and then you may have to take some steps. If they are purchasing your real estate and they are getting a mortgage, well, then the mortgage company needs to see all of this additional paperwork, or it may end up being that it's best to deed it out of the trust and into your individual name or names and then sell it. It all just depends, but these are things that come up. It's not usually a huge issue. What becomes a huge issue is a little more in the execution. I'll get to that in a minute, but we're going to talk about a third instance, and that's when you're trying to refinance a property that's in a trust. I don't know why, I really and truly don't, but this seems to be the area where there's the most problems, where it's, oh, we need more paperwork than a sale or a purchase. We need to go and jump through these types of hoops, and it's just, it becomes much more of a big deal than it really needs to be, but it happens more with refinancing a mortgage on a property than anything. And it's the same thing, it's just they either need additional paperwork, they need to see a copy of the trust, or more often than even with a sale or a purchase, they need you to move the real estate out of the trust into your name or names, do the refinance, and then we do the same thing. A couple of weeks later, we'll move the property by a quick claim deed back into the trust. All right, so let's talk about some of the difficulties in this. I really see a lot more when it's thrown on my law firm, and it really is, it's just inadequate planning ahead of time. For some reason, and this is why I don't do real estate, I don't do anything that's got quick deadlines, I just don't want that type to practice that type of law. They know there's paperwork that's going to be needing, the closing, whether it's a refinance, a purchase, a sale. They know it's 6 weeks out. Client gets in touch with us. Yeah, we're talking about buying, selling, refinancing, or whatever. We're talking with the company, and they say they might need some stuff from you. I'm like, okay, tell us everything in writing as soon as possible. What we frequently get is they don't want to give us a list in writing or even by email. They want to talk to us, and then they say, oh, we only want these three or four things. Okay, we immediately provide those things. Sometimes they do put it in writing, and then it's the same thing. We provide it as soon as possible. But then 2 or 3 days, or even the day before closing, or even, we've even had the day of closing, you never sent us this and this and this. You never told us this. Or they said, well, we needed you to send a letter that had these 8 things. Well, no, you only told us it needed to have these 4 things. So that's where there may end up being more problems. It's not on the legal end, it's the paperwork end. And for whatever reason, real estate and mortgage closings and everything, it's quick. Even though they know the closing is weeks ahead of time, those offices are so busy that often they're just not getting everything they need up front, and they're only noticing that several items from their checklist aren't there a few days before the closing, and then it's a rush. But now it's a cyclical rush on every single case because it's not getting ahead of time. So what we typically do, and if you're an attorney, go ahead and message us. We'll be happy to send you this letter. We send a letter attached to an email immediately saying, we're not going to jump through hoops. You're going to give us exactly what we need up front, complete, and we will do everything we can to get it to you right away. And in that letter, I spell out instances and things that we won't deal with. What we've sometimes gotten is, here, you need to fill out this form. Okay, you need to tell me exactly what you need to have on that form, because often it's guesswork. And they tell us, again, 1 or 2 days ahead of time, oh, it's not complete. All right, if you get all of these things lined up and provided for the sale, the purchase, or the refinance, there really shouldn't be a big issue. It really shouldn't be. But again, sometimes it's just a matter of making sure that everything gets put together in paperwork the proper way the first time. So I hope you found that helpful about having real estate inside a revocable trust. Definitely it's the way to go for the estate planning piece of it. It's just every now and then, if you're doing a purchase, a sale, or a refinance, that sometimes mortgage companies need additional paperwork. And I'm sorry to say, there's no one specific process. Each mortgage company is different. And one takeaway, and this rarely happens, but sometimes it is for the best, if it's a mortgage company that's being completely and totally unreasonable, there are other mortgage companies out there. Maybe every 2 or 3 years I end up with a client that just walks away and goes to another mortgage company, but it's worth realizing that's on the table. So we hope you found that information useful. If you do need anything, please go ahead and let us know. Our contact information is in the description. So please like, subscribe, turn on your notifications, and keep getting some of this great information. We hope you're having a great day, and we look to hear from you soon.
We hope you found that information useful and easy to understand. To keep getting this great information, please like, subscribe, and turn on notifications. To get even more information more quickly, follow the links below to some of our free, no-obligation programs.